Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revelation. This is the day the Lord has made, and I know that God has something special for you today. For the last few weeks, we've been studying about the return of the King. We're learning truths from God's Word about the second coming of Jesus Christ and how we can prepare for His coming. I trust that the Holy Spirit is moving in your life and helping you to rise up and overcome in these end times. The good news for all of us is that we don't have to struggle in our own strength or power to get ready for His return. You see, God has promised us the power of His Holy Spirit poured out on us to perform His supernatural works. We have the promise of Pentecost in these last days. For now is the time that God is pouring out His Holy Spirit for a massive worldwide thrust to bring in souls. Now is the time when God is raising up an end-time army to cover the earth with His glory. Now is the time for us, the people of God, to rise in faith and receive His impartation. For very soon the day will come when the Spirit will no longer flow and the time of His visitation will pass. Therefore, you and I must wake up today and claim the prize of the promise of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We must act now while we have this chance before this golden opportunity is lost forever. We must receive the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that God has promised in these last days for those who are ready and who will receive Him by faith. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that after Jesus rose from the dead, He appeared to His followers many times before He ascended to heaven. On one of His visits with them before His ascension, He said to them in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And the Bible tells us that Peter and James and John and even Mary, the mother of Jesus, did exactly what He told them to do. They went into an upper room in Jerusalem, and they waited in obedience to God. And on the 10th day, the Bible says in Acts 2, 1-4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And thus the church was born. You see, before that time, there was no church, but that one act of the Holy Spirit coming down launched the New Testament church into the world and brought the power and presence of God to earth in a new way. The good news for all of us today is that Pentecost has a major impact on us right now. See, friends, Pentecost was not just a historical event that took place in Israel thousands of years ago. Our very existence now is tied to what happened then. We are able to worship today because of Pentecost. We have the church today because of that great outpouring. But even more important than that is the fact that that great outpouring of Pentecost was not just for Peter, James, and John. It was not just for the disciples gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. No, it is still God's plan and still His promise for all of us to be partakers of this great outpouring. The Holy Spirit has not stopped flowing. God is still baptizing His people with fire and power so that we can move in the supernatural and win the world to Christ. Listen to the words of Peter himself, who shared this good news with us when he preached a sermon on Pentecost. He said in Acts chapter 2, "Then Peter stood up, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Friends, did you hear what Peter said? He was explaining to the crowd in Jerusalem what had just happened. And if we look carefully at his words, we will discover three truths about this great outpouring and how it impacts us today. What are the three truths we can learn about the great outpouring? Well, first of all, we understand the time of the great outpouring. Peter clearly tells the crowd that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the fulfillment of a prophecy given to the prophet Joel many years before. Peter tells us this outpouring was to be fulfilled in the last days. So we know that the great outpouring occurs in the last days. But when you think about it, Peter also says that what he experienced on the day of Pentecost was the fulfillment of that prophecy. That means that Peter himself believed that he was living in the last days. And friends, this is an amazing truth. Peter was speaking nearly 2,000 years ago, but he clearly stated that what happened to him that day on the day of Pentecost was in fact happening in the last days. And now let me ask you, if Peter was living in the last days, what does that mean for us? If a time 2,000 years ago was considered to be the last days, then what we're living in now must be the very last seconds of the last days. You see, friends, the day of Pentecost was the beginning of the period of the last days. It was the beginning of the time we call the end time. That's the time we're still living in now. From that moment till now, the world then is in its last days. From Pentecost till now, the world is in the end time. It's much like a football match. There are two halves. The first period is followed by a break and then a second period. Each period lasts 45 minutes. You may be in the first 3 minutes of the second half, but you're still in the last half. But when you get to the 44th minute of the last half, you're down to just 1 minute remaining in regulation time. Peter was living at the beginning of the last days, and you and I now are living at the end of the last days. We're in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but this time is soon coming to a close. Soon God will blow his whistle, and this period will be end. Well, and after that, there will be judgment on the world, followed by the return of Christ. Listen carefully to the prophecy of Joel again in Joel chapter 2, 28 to 31. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Joel tells us clearly that the timetable for the end goes like this. First, there's the great outpouring. Then the end comes. The final judgments occur on the earth, and Jesus comes again. So let us ask ourselves today, what does this truth mean for us today? For you see, friends, this truth has very real implications for you and me today. First of all, it means that it's later than you think. We're in the very end of the very end of the very end of the very end of the last days. We don't know the day or the hour that Christ will return, but we do know the signs, and they all point to the fact that we are living in the last seconds of the last minutes of the last days. All the apostles in the New Testament believed that they were living in the end times. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 13, 11. "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out." But secondly, the fact that the Holy Spirit is being poured out in the last minutes of the last days is a good thing. It's a good sign in the middle of all the bad signs. You know, so often when we think of the signs of the end times, we think of the negative things that happen: earthquakes, and famine, war, and disease. But this one sign is a good sign. This is a sign of God moving. This is a sign that God has not given up on the earth. This is a sign that even though all around there may be judgment, God is still pouring out the Holy Spirit and blessing His people with His power so that we can do exploits and win souls in the last days. You know what this means to me? It means that God's grace is available even in times of trial and judgment. James chapter 2, 13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And so to me, when I see that the Holy Spirit is being poured out in the midst of the end times, it says to me that even though God must judge the world for sin, His desire is not to judge us, but to bless us. If we would only turn to Him, He's ready to forgive our sins and pour out His Spirit upon us. That's why the end of Joel's prophecy says this, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God may be judging the world. There is a shaking going on. All around us, the world is in confusion. But even in judgment, God shows mercy. Even in the midst of shaking, God pours out His presence so that it will lift us and save us and rescue us from destruction. Hallelujah! And thanks be to God, for He reigns even in the midst of the end times. Friends, I want you to know today that God has a purpose in these last days. He's working right to the end of the age to still save and redeem people. Though this world is coming to an end, God is not finished. He's working, He's blessing, He's still pouring out His Spirit so that His purposes will be accomplished. There is nothing the devil can do to stop Almighty God. The Antichrist will come. The devil will gather his army at Armageddon. But God Almighty's plans will come to pass and His purposes will be accomplished. If you believe it, say amen. And that brings us to our second truth about the great outpouring today. The purpose of the great outpouring. First of all, the great outpouring is taking place to fill God's people with His Spirit and power that we might be His witnesses. This is what Jesus told us in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God knows that in the last days, His people will need greater strength and greater power. God knows we need His presence more than ever so that we can endure to the end. And He's made provision for us by pouring out His Spirit. See, friends, God's plan is that you will be filled with the same power as the apostles. God's plan is that His people will move in the same supernatural power of the Spirit as Peter, James, and John. It's a supernatural outpouring that comes with signs and wonders, with prophecies, dreams, and visions. It's a work of revelation from God. It's a period of divine encounters. This is what God desires to bring to us when He comes to give us direct intervention. It's what happened on the day of Pentecost, and it is what is still happening today. For you see, God sent down tongues of fire on the disciples in the upper room as a sign to us of the fire that should burn in us. For God has never called us to live a dead, lifeless, powerless form of religion. He's called us to dwell with Him in unity and in power, to feel His presence in our hearts, and to burn with the same fire that burned on the day of Pentecost. He's called us to move in supernatural ways, to copy His works and perform His miracles. Hallelujah. For you see, when you study the Word of God, you'll understand that fire has always been the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the sign of Christ, the emblem of the gospel. Fire is the hallmark of the church. All through the Bible, fire represents the power of God. Listen to the Word of God as it speaks to us about God and fire in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 4:36, the Word of God says, "On earth He showed you His great fire, and you heard His words from out of the fire." God showed His fire, and the people heard His word out of the fire. Then in the New Testament, Hebrews 12:29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And friend, if you've got the power and the presence of God in you, you also are going to be affected by that fire. That's why Psalm 104:4 says, God makes his ministers a flame of fire. You cannot be a part of God's plan unless you're on fire. You've got to get on fire for God right now. The fire of God will affect everything and everyone who comes close to God. If he's a consuming fire and he lives in you, then fire will be evident in your life. The way to tell the true from the false is only by fire. You may be sitting there today and say, well, that's just not me. I'm just not like that. I'm just a simple, ordinary Christian. I'll go to church and sometimes I'll give, but I'm just a quiet person. I've got my own life to live. But friend, listen to me carefully. In these end times, there is no such thing as a half-hearted Christian. Jesus himself said in Revelation 3:15 to 16, you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. If God is a consuming fire and he lives inside of you, then fire will be evident in your life. There is no way you can be a part of God's kingdom and not have fire burning in you. And that's the way to tell the true from the false. For the devil cannot counterfeit fire. Fire is a sure sign of God. And when we burn with his spirit, it brings about the second purpose of the great outpouring, which is to send the gospel to the whole world before Jesus comes again. In Matthew chapter 24, 14, Jesus said, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached. Somebody say, will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations, somebody say all nations, will hear it. And then the end will come. When the disciples received the Holy Spirit, they left the upper room of fellowship and worship and went to the streets where the people were. They started evangelizing right away. Their witness to the world was a direct result of the Holy Spirit fire that they had just received. And today, we must follow their example. The Holy Spirit has not been given to us so that we can enjoy blessings or so that we can feel good. It's been given to us so that we can go out and preach to the lost and win them to Christ. Too many churches today think of the Holy Spirit as just some good feeling in their backbone or some chill on their skin. But the Holy Spirit was not given just to make you feel good or to get a chill in your spine. The Holy Spirit was given so that you would go forth and preach the gospel and win the lost to him. When you come into the presence of Almighty God, something is going to make you shout. When you come into the presence of God, you will not remain the same. But there's more than jumping and shouting. There's more than shaking and falling. The purposes of God in pouring out his Spirit is to win the world to Jesus Christ. And what this means for you and I is this. First of all, it means there's no place that God cannot send his presence. Once again, in Matthew 24, 14, remember that Jesus said, this good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. And sadly, many people think the end times are the times when Satan rules the earth. Many view the last days as days of darkness and sorrow. Those days are dark and sorrowful. But there is no darkness so strong that the light of God cannot shine there. There is no pit so deep that the love of God cannot reach there. And that's the message for us from Matthew 24, 14. It means there's no place on this earth and no time on this earth when the devil can limit God. The gospel will spread to every corner of the world. There's no place that God in his power cannot and will not move in these end times. The devil has tried to keep the gospel out of many countries, but God's power has overcome. The governments have set up prisons for pastors, but the governments have fallen, and today those prisons have been turned into churches. There is no territory on earth where Satan can put up a no trespassing sign to the Holy Spirit. He may try to keep the gospel out, but God says it's coming to every nation, to every tongue, to every tribe. The good news of Jesus' victory will be heard in all the world. And the devil may try to keep the gospel out of lands, but he has failed. And today the church is growing in nations where they've even tried to limit the gospel. And so it is in your life too. No matter how dark, there's no place God's power cannot move. No matter what the devil has tried to do to you, there's no area of your life that God cannot heal. No matter what others have done, God can overcome the hurts and the failures of your past. For there's no area of your life that is beyond the reach of the good news of Christ's victory. That's why we must seize this opportunity now, while it's still available to us. For in John 9:4, Jesus said, "We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us, for the night is coming, and then no one can work." Now is the time of the great outpouring. Now is the time to receive His Spirit and take the gospel to the world. And friends, that involves all of us. And that brings us to the third truth about the great outpouring, which is the people of the great outpouring. The great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for all people, young and old, rich or poor, men and women from every nation. Acts 2:17 says, God said, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." Another translation says, "on all flesh." And as we're preparing to close today, I want you to think about what that means. The power of the Holy Spirit is not just for the Jews, not just for special people, not just for the elite, not just for the educated or for the apostles and pastors only. It is for all people everywhere. For the Bible says He will pour out His Spirit on His servants, which means it's for the lower class as well as for the upper class. It's for people who are not typically included in blessings. It says your sons and daughters, so it includes the youth. It says old men, so it includes the aged. It says both men and women are included. In fact, anyone who's hungry, anyone who will come, can be included in the great outpouring. I want you to know this day that God has a gift for all people. He has a gift for you. Every member of the body of Christ has a spiritual gift. So it's time for you to receive this outpouring, discover your gift, and join the end time army. It's for all of us today. For Acts 2:38 says, "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." What does this mean for you and I today? It means God wants you to be filled with His Holy Spirit so that you can live fully devoted to Him. Ephesians 5 says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will discover your gift. You'll discover your place in the end time army. 1 Peter 4:10 reassures us that God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. This is the day of the great outpouring. This is the day when the Holy Spirit is moving in power to send the gospel to the world and bring in the final harvest. This is the day when Christ is calling forth His end time army to arise in His mighty power and in the supernatural work of His Spirit to bring deliverance to the lost. Will you respond today? Will you yield to Him today? Will you be a part of this great outpouring? Just open up your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that I might be purified and I might be prepared to take Your gospel to the world." The Lord Jesus Christ is coming quickly. He's given you the great outpouring to prepare you for His return, the return of the King. I urge you today, receive Him and receive His power, that you might be equipped to be a part of His end-time army. May the Lord richly bless you in Jesus' name.